Welcome to Geeks of the North, a hobby and gaming podcast in the Dolph of Angus. We're here to paint some miniatures and talk about the hobby, so why don't you sit back, relax, grab a paintbrush, and enjoy the show. Hey everyone, welcome to another exciting episode of Geeks of the North. I'm Paul Filion, here with my co-host, the man, the myth, the legend, Guild Ball Sculptor Extraordinaire, Antoine Bergeron.
Hello. How are you doing, Paul?
I'm doing okay. How are you doing, Antoine?
Pretty good. Not sculpting right now, so no ball ending, but still.
There's a joke in there somewhere about you and balls, but...
Yeah.
We'll keep it family-friendly.
Mm-hmm.
For now.
As we mentioned multiple times, we're married, so there's less ball ending anyway.
Yep, this is true. You know, I have black paint on my... my paintbrush, I was going to do something with it. I have no idea what that was. This is unfortunate. I'm sure there was a place that black paint was needed. I just don't know where that place was.
Don't you have a specific model in front of you that it would make sense?
Yes, I do have a specific model in front of me.
But no place that it makes sense.
But I don't know where I was going with it. Because it was like, I've got to fix that. I've got to blackline it a little bit. I've got to... And I don't know what that was.
So, well, speaking of model in front of you, what is it you're working on tonight?
Well, it's the same thing I work on every night.
Conquering the world.
Exactly. I wish. I do such a better job than our leaders. So I tell myself. I'm working on a Guild Ball model. Mm-hmm. A fellow by the name of Anvil.
Another of your blacksmiths.
Yeah. Same guy I was working on last week. And I worked on him for a little bit. We had a little painting get-together.
Yes.
You and I. And I worked on him a little bit at your place. Mostly I spent a lot of time messing him up and then fixing it and then messing it up again. That's the secret to Paul style painting.
Mm-hmm.
That and licking my brush. That's the two secrets to my success.
Have you been able to work on other stuff in the week? Or it's mostly been those two hobby period and that's it?
Yeah, that was it. My work has been super crazy. I don't know if I've mentioned this before. Basically, we're super short-staffed, and people are, we've fired them, they're on vacation, or they're on paternity leave. So, I'm a little swamped at work, which means I get home, and by the time I've made supper and got the kids in bed and stuff, all that old man stuff that I have to do, that I'm sure you relate with.
Yep.
I haven't got much way in the left of juice to do any painting.
Yeah.
That's why I look forward to our show so much, Antoine, because it means I actually get to paint something.
same for me. In the past few months, it was mostly that, but now the past few weeks have been extraordinarily productive, so I can't complain on that side for once.
I cannot accuse myself of being productive, I'm sad to say. Hey, I just realized I'm being all careful, trying not to get any paint on this guy's base. Except I'm going to tear him off his base, so that don't matter.
Would it have been better to tear him off before?
He has been torn off. I then just tacked him back onto it with a little bit of crazy glue.
So you have something to hold him.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there's no further destruction, just unglue, unfun-tack it.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, okay. I was a bit afraid because I... tried to remove Lucky from his base, and it doesn't come out that easily.
No. I felt I was lied to by the Guild Ball community. Oh, just cut the pegs and pull in the model, it'll come out, they said.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. One of the feet came out right away, super easy, but the second one is not bulging. Well, I have to get the knife out.
Yeah, the other one's still stuck to the base. Unfortunately, the rest of them isn't.
Speaking of Lucky, it's last week, I think I was done last week, I've painted the masons from the Guild Ball starter, the kickoff box, They are PVC plastic. It was Steamforge's first foray into plastic. Lucky is a mixed guild, so he plays for both the Masons and the Brewers, which are the two guilds in the box, and he was used as a kind of a intro, extra players for people who wanted the kickoff, and he was given an events and stuff like that. He's also plastic, but it's not the same plastic. The plastic is a lot harder, and the detail are really sharp on him. I just got him this week, and it's totally not comparable with the other kickoff models.
Oh my goodness. Sorry, I have to laugh, Antoine.
Mm-hmm.
Because I just picked up Lucky, because I also got him from that event.
Yeah.
And you said he's much harder, so I'm like, oh, I have to see. So I kind of took him in my hand, and I started flexing him, and his base flew off.
Oh, yeah.
So this was what people were talking about. They're like, oh, yeah, they just pop off.
That's one case of it.
Yeah, because like, I literally, like, I barely touched him, dude, and the bases came flying right off. Like, literally came flying right off of him.
Okay, now, just playing with him, because we were mentioning him, and I picked him up, and flexing him a bit, the second peg went out, so...
Now we have
the... Yay! I have an easier to paint Lucky now. I'm kind of sad for the base, because the base he comes with is texture, and it looks nice. While my Mason are just painted flat bases.
They also look nice. Don't...
It's not that they don't look nice, but the base are not to the same level of work.
Well, the thing is, the I don't really care for the textured base they provide.
Mm-hmm.
I find it's the texture is kind of too textury. I don't know.
Oh, it's just too coarse. Generic sand.
And the other problem I had. Like that. Sorry, I'm trying to figure out what I'm painting. As in, I'm painting something, but I don't know what it's supposed to be. So, yeah, I find the texture is awfully coarse, and there's always a gap around their feet.
Yeah, that I agree.
I mean, good in a pinch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for a quick job like I did for the Mason, if they had those bases, I would have used that. I would have painted the rocks on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the model itself is... I'm really, really, really surprised.
I was surprised when I saw Yom's, because it looked so good compared to the... I mean, the blacksmiths aren't bad, don't get me wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And they're also fairly solid. But I think Lucky is sharper still.
Yeah.
And the blacksmiths have some weird mold lines that are a little disappointing. I ain't gonna lie.
The plastic box have been uneven, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, inconsistent, yeah.
Yeah. We're still talking Gilball. Gilball Hobby, though, so it's Hobby, which is fun.
Yeah. Well, Steve won't hunt me down now, so.
Mm-hmm.
We finished the Gilball event. I can't say how I did, because that'll be an upcoming episode of Guilds of the North. Which hopefully will release later this week. Maybe even before this episode takes the air, who knows?
Yeah, probably.
Well, you say that. But
it depends on editing. That's always something.
Caveat. We had some sound issues, shall we say. But we have the best editor on our team working on it. We have the only editor on our team working on it.
Yep. But he's good, so.
Well,
even if lucky. He's the only one, well, you're far better than I am. I did a couple of those, and the results were not as clean as what you were able to do, and in a far longer time.
Yeah. Well, there's a reason I always do the thing, right? I have a system. It's not perfect, but and I kind of like our recording at this point is very consistent usually.
Yeah, or just us two, or when we were doing the news, it was always the same. So
that makes things easier too, right? There's nothing to worry about.
Mm-hmm.
I can skim through the show or even not and just assume it's going to be okay most of the time.
Yeah.
Unless I get wind of something while we're recording. Like half the time it's not even worth checking.
I've not printed other than that. Have you been able to game this week?
No, my gaming night was, I don't want to say ruined, but because that would not be fair. My wife had an activity on my gaming night that she couldn't really miss, and the schedule of was out of her control.
Yeah.
So as a result, my gaming night did not happen, so I did not really get the game.
Usual Friday evening gaming was replaced by the hobby too.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, that's fine. The hobby break was nice.
Yep. So not much gaming on your side.
Well, the thing is, gaming requires a certain amount of mental capacity, shall we say.
And you're not in the state for that right now.
With the way work's been going, I've just had no juice for that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
How's that expression go? The mind is willing, but the body can't provide?
Something like that.
So it's like, in theory, it sounds great. And then I try to work up the energy to go do something. I was like, oh, no, never mind.
Yeah. On my side, I've been a bit more productive. Not that much on the game side. I had one game of Guild Ball. I was able to try my Mason on the table. It was a fun game. Played against Yom, our buddy from the podcast, which we really should get on eventually.
Yeah, that's going to happen, I think, eventually, soon.
Yep. Okay. But, it was a fun game. Flint scored twice. Like, the game went super fast. We did a lot of points in the first turn, and then it slugged down, and eventually Yom got a win.
I was surprised to find that Flint has Charm Mail.
Yeah.
That made me chuckle this week.
You didn't know that?
No, I've never played Masons.
Yeah.
So, I saw someone commenting with that, and I had to laugh.
Yeah.
Right, sorry, continue.
So that was my game. On the hobby side, while we were doing our hobby night, I painted a couple of the even custom balls I have. One was the pumpkin ball. I did for an Halloween event we did last year, I think. Not too sure when it was.
Yeah, that was last year.
That was last year, okay. So I painted mine, finally. And the other was the frog ball that I got from the French National. I didn't attend the French National. That's an Ocean over. But we traded custom ball, an info from the organization. We sent some of our curling balls to them, and they sent some frogs. So
that curling ball is super popular everywhere I go.
Oh, yeah?
Like, anytime that thing comes up, people are like, oh my god, how do I get one of those? Like, you can't. Suck it up. It's mine! Mine alone! Yeah.
I have spares. I would need to decide with the rest of the Nationals guys, if we want to produce more of them.
It's a really cool looking ball. That's something different, right? There's a lot of
animals.
Yeah, a lot of animal balls, which is...
Some people really don't like the having a living thing for the balls.
I'm one of those people.
Yeah, I know really you're one of those.
I think something cute. Like, I thought the French National ball was cute, right?
Mm-hmm.
For some reason, it bothers me that Steamforge keeps trying to do it, though. Like, I find a lot of the balls don't really make sense. Like, the Navigator's buoy as a ball. Like, it's not even round. Not to mention it weighs, like, you know, probably hundreds of pounds or whatever.
Well, the curling stone was probably not something light either.
No, but at least that was thematic because it was supposed to be a Canadian thing.
Yeah.
Like,
and it was on ice.
Yeah, and I get that, right? And it's part of a theme. It's part of a special event thing. Like, that's one thing. That's not mass production for sale, right?
Yeah.
And I think that's what bothered me.
So, painted those. Worked a bit on my Relic Knight Francis Mallory, and which I finished in the rest of the weekend. And I also was able to finish the V2 rocket from 3D Wargaming, another model I'm painting for the currently running Kickstarter. So that's the giant German rocket. It's so big compared to infantry models.
That's what she said.
Yeah. Sure.
Well, let me have my moment, Antoine.
Yep.
Okay.
And
carry on.
I started working on the fourth model for them, which is the Hawker Typhoon, British fighter.
Yeah, that V2 rocket, I saw it on the weekend. It is really cool looking. Mm-hmm. You did a great job with that.
It's super simple. He went with the owner wanted the test pattern, which is kind of just of a checkered white and black.
It's kind of like a quartered white and black, yeah.
Yeah, kind of. So, but it was fun to do. The Hawker will be more work because there's camo on it. And there's a bottom color and a top color, and the camo only goes on to the top part. So it will be a lot of masking. But I've gotten better at masking with all those planes anyway. But that's our brushwork, so I'm not doing that tonight. So I got an handful of Viren models on the table. Right now I'm reworking on the Elder, the Fubarni Elder I have for an aerial. I painted that when I did the balloon, but I didn't like I picked a red for the cloak, and I didn't have time to rework it, but I really didn't like it. I found that it was clashing with the rest of the model. So I'm reworking him and adding more contrast. I'll retouch the other elements. And after that, it's probably going to be a Relic Knight or Malifaux. Or Stonehaven. I'm not sure. I have choice on the table.
Yeah, I can't decide what I want to have on here next. I was thinking about doing my Judgment model I picked up last year.
Mm-hmm.
I realize one model does not a game make, but I picked him up last year at Adepticon because I thought he looked cool, and he hasn't really been touched. I were talking about doing a Judgment event at Adepticon.
Yeah.
So I was like, well, maybe now's an opportunity, right? And he'd be something different. I think I'm going to need a little Guild Ball break after this.
Yeah, you've been painting a lot of Guild Ball recently.
Yeah. I think a little too much, to be quite honest.
Didn't you start working on your kill team? Would that be a break?
I'm not feeling it, though. Like, they're sitting in front of me. And I got the one guy kind of painted yellow, and I'm like, I don't...
Oh, you're not sure on the color choice?
Yeah, and I'm not feeling terribly motivated to paint it.
Mm-hmm.
So that doesn't help either.
No, for sure. The Judgment model will be a really nice break because it's a different scale entirely. It's
exactly
double
right.
The size.
It's just a completely different product and project than what I normally do.
And that you would probably work more on it, but maybe not display, but it's the kind of model I see that you might be able to put more hours into it without having a problem with going over your 2-hour limit.
Oh, so true. You know me so well. I mean, these Guild Ball models have been going over 2 hours.
Yeah, your blacksmiths, you put more time than that on them, for sure. And it shows the progress you have on Anvil is really good, and Sledge is looking super good. Especially after you reworked some of the coloring and added more contrast after we talked last time. I think now they are really spot on.
Yeah, I'm thinking, so Anvil is mostly done, except for his face and beard.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking about doing his beard. I mean, he's always painted as like an old man.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking about doing more as like a, like, Troll Slayer colors, you know, like the bright orange, like... Well, because with my kind of lazy man's NMM I'm doing,
yeah,
there's a lot of steel on them, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if I paint a gray beard on him, it's just more gray.
Yeah, it won't pop. Adding the touch of red or orange would remake
that's just it. So I think it
stand
it,
out.
Yeah, it might make him look a bit different. And orange, I mean, you can play a lot with orange.
Yeah, for sure.
So yeah, it's just kind of a thought.
Yep, I agree with you. I think it's going to... Well, even when you add it, you were working at it on the other side of the table. I thought the beard was done because it contested really well. I think you had maybe a wash on it or something like that.
No, it's just Zenithal primed.
Yeah, okay, but it did...
Because it's more white than gray,
yeah, right? Yeah, it now, was right? More white than gray, so it did pop contrarily to the rest of the model. But I think adding color would be even better.
Yeah. I think so too. Let's... Great audio while I dig for my bag of paint next to me. I might have wanted to plan this ahead of time. But what fun would that be? None, I say. None. Oh, here we got some Kador red highlight. That is wicked orange. That might be slightly too orange. Actually, that's a good topic here. We can talk a little about pink color mixing or color choice. You want to do red hair. What would you do?
Start with a reddish brown.
That's okay. That's exactly what I've got. I've got some Idrian flesh I'm looking at, which is kind of a reddish flesh tone, like a dark flesh tone.
Yeah. Ooh. I did.
There's also a Blood Tracker brown from PP, which is quite... Is this one thing? That's quite red.
I have Rhinox Eyed, which is really dark, but it's a darkish red from a Citadel. That's what I use as a base for the orange on my Masons and for Harmony's hair. Because I did her as a pale redhead.
Sorry, Bloodstone was the color I was thinking of. That's kind of an orangey brown.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking maybe add a bit of the orange to it, see what I get.
Yep. Yeah, especially if it's dark. You don't need to do your base that dark, so mixing it up for the base would work well.
Yeah, yeah. Let's have some happy little accidents here, Antoine.
Channel your Bob Ross.
Absolutely. It's unfortunate I can't talk like him. Or maybe it's fortunate because our listeners would go to sleep. You know, I watched that show every day.
Oh, yeah?
When I was a kid. Yeah, yeah, I loved him. And it would come on during lunch hour on PBS. And, yeah, being the exciting family we were, we watched PBS. And, I started, every episode, and I don't think I ever saw one to the end, because I was asleep before it cut there. and not because it's not interesting.
No.
But he is such a, like, calm, quiet, metered, like, talker. That you just go to sleep. You're not trying to. His voice is like enthralling.
Some other podcasters I'm listening to. Some podcasts I find hard to listen for a long time.
What's the Guild Ball one? To mention Guild Ball again.
Guild Ball Tonight. I don't have that problem with Phil's voice. I find him slow, but not...
That's true.
He doesn't put me to sleep, though.
It's the speed. That's true. That's different.
He has tone. He doesn't have speed.
So who? Which podcast were you referring to?
Oh, I can't remember that stuff. I remove from my list most of the time because I just can't. Because
you don't need a nap.
Yeah, no, I don't need a nap. I listen to podcasts to stay awake, not to go to sleep.
Yeah, the other day I was driving a long drive or whatever, and I put on a podcast to listen to, and it was Guild Ball Tonight, and I had to change it because I was dying. I was like, I'm going to drive right off the road.
Yeah. Don't you listen to it at a higher speed?
Sometimes I listen at the 1.5 speed. Usually I don't because that also bothers me, just in a different way.
Yeah.
I'm a complicated man, Antoine. Yeah, I kind of like that reddish beard we got going there, Antoine.
Good.
I think we may have been on to something.
And it will add a nice pop to... Like, your scheme is really cool, but it's...
It's a Paul scheme.
Yeah, it's a Paul scheme. It doesn't pop on the table. It's clean, and it's Sledge, the other guy that's done, right?
Yeah.
He looks really good, but it doesn't pop on the table.
Mm-hmm.
So adding a colored element like that, like the airs, it might be pushing it, but you could almost do anime airs on the other ones, or add at least a tints of color, blue, grays, stuff like that, to maybe make them stand out a bit. Might not be out of character, especially with NMM armor, so you're already in an anime style a bit.
That's a valid point. And this is, you know, a fantasy game before anything, right? So
yeah. Oh, I'm done with my Elder, and I like that a lot better.
It's always disheartening when you finish a model and you're not happy with what you did.
Mm-hmm.
And especially if you're pressed for time and you don't have time to go back and fix them right off. It's really like, it's really, so I said disheartening, right? Because we put so much time into these things, and to have it not turn out the way you want it, it's demoralizing, I think was the term I was looking for before.
Yes, that's a good term for it. I've not had that too much recently, but that Elder really, really, really did not jive with me, but I didn't have time to redo it back at that moment. And it was almost fully hidden away in the basket, so the basket was the piece to show and not the model.
Yeah, because he rides in a hot air balloon, right?
Yeah.
Scratch builds or whatever. And it looks amazing.
Thank you. So, it was not too bad if I wasn't happy with the model. It was really small, and most of the cloak color hidden away anyway by the basket. But
that
now
doesn't matter
I'm starting to work on the model for the game. As soon as I will be done with the 3D wargaming stuff, I'll start painting my couple starters from Unreal to try the game and prepare for Adepticon. So the Elder will probably be usable on the game. So I need to have a working color scheme to go with his retinue. And the red was not cutting it.
Well, the thing is, when you have problems like that, it doesn't matter that it's not seen. You still know it's there.
Yeah, sure. But it's not like I don't have thousands of minis to... Or maybe thousands of minis to work on.
Even if it's hundreds, right? It's still a lot.
It's a high number of hundreds.
Oh, right there with you, buddy.
Yeah. You probably have more than... I have more game diversity, but you have higher numbers.
Yay. I win, I guess.
Well, we have different categories.
Or we both lose. One of the
yeah, and it's not like I'm still adding to it. I don't know if I mentioned that to you, but when I sold some of my Guild Ball recently, my extra teams, one of those was for Moonstone. So it was a trade for
Moonstone.
Moonstone, that's a fantasy game with really cartoony characters. We mentioned it on the show when it was on Kickstarter, but it's been a while. It's a small British game, Goblin King Games, if I remember correctly. So that's in the mail.
Because.
Well, because they have goblins and fairies and gnomes.
No, Antoine's all in.
Yeah. Sure, I don't have the furries and gnomes in what I get from the trade, but if the game is fun and the miniatures are fun to work on, I might add other faction.
Did you say the furries?
No, I didn't say furries.
Okay.
I might have mispronounced stuff. That's entirely possible.
I heard, you know, I don't get the furries and
no,
the
fairies.
Oh, okay.
Fairies, yes. And gnomes.
I was like, oh, Antoine, how the mighty have fallen.
I don't know if there's a furries game. Well, doesn't the nomads have, like, mutated people that decorate themselves as animals for Infinity?
I think.
Yeah, Young painted some, like, a rabbit person or cat person. I don't remember.
Well, knowing Yom, was probably a rabbit person.
Well, there was more than an animal. I don't remember how many of them there were. Aren't they Morlocks or something like that? It's ringing a bell. I'm not too sure exactly.
Well, I mean, I know there's in Ariadna, the faction I had, there was like the wolf people.
Yeah, so. The anthropods and the dog face.
Yeah. So, I mean, it stands to reason that in other factions there'd be something like that.
Mm-hmm. But the other factions, they are like cosmetic change. So it really fits with furries.
Yeah, I remember that now. Just another reason I don't play that game.
You've been looking at it recently.
Quiet you. The problem is, I really want to like that game. I want to play a sci-fi skirmish game that's good.
Relic Knight? Even Yom, who is an Infinity big fan, suggested to you that you have models for a game that fits those criteria.
Yeah.
It's not hard sci-fi, that's for sure. It's more of a fantasy in space. Anime crazy setting, but it's sci-fi with gun. And you have the military faction, so there's a lot of gun there.
Yes, this is true. And I had started them. They're actually not in a horrible place right now. I should... They're another thing on my list to finish. In fact, I'm looking at them right now as I move further and further away from the mic, forgetting that I'm recording a show. And I think that's the best part about the new show, Antoine, is I can forget we're recording.
it's almost like one of the hangouts we usually do in the evening.
Mm-hmm. Except with the pretense of doing something quote-unquote professional. No, honey, I'm not hanging out with Antoine painting my little toys. I'm recording my show.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about how you spin it.
Yeah. Yeah, I tried to spin that about selling miniature for Captain Gun, my wife, but it didn't pass. Promoting my sculpting business.
Well, that's not actually a lie.
No, but that's not entirely true either.
Well, truth is a fluid thing in the modern era. That's. I'm not going to get political. I'm just going to say that. Okay? Say it like that. Not political. Not us. Not this show.
No, not this show. Never. If we were, we would get comments about that.
Politics has no place in gaming.
Nope.
Okay. I'll stop flogging that dead horse. I don't know. It irks me so bad.
Yeah.
It irks me so bad.
What bugs me the most is I don't remember when or what we said.
But you know what? Even if we did say something, right?
Oh, yeah, sure. But
I hate to say that we're grown-ass men, and politics is an important part of our lives, you know, as gaming is. People just gotta get over it. Whoops. Sorry.
Speaking of listeners giving us comments, we didn't get another review this week, but we did get the question.
Oh yeah, hit me up.
So Mathieu Sirois, when we did the last show,
I love it when
you
get French on me. Sorry.
When we did the last show, before we started recording, I took a picture of my work desk, just announcing that we were prepping and we were gonna start recording, and I had my web palette out. And he gave us a question about that. He's asking, what kind of paper do we use on our wet palettes?
Oh goodness. Probably the most divisive debate in all of miniature painting. I guess I'll go first. I have used both parchment paper and the wet palette paper.
Mm-hmm.
I prefer, to a great extent, wet palette paper. And I know there's a great number of professional artists who are much better painters than I, who would say the first thing you should do when you open up your wet palette is throw that paper out. But on the same note, there are less vocal artists like Matt DiPietro, who swears by using it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think whatever you feel works best with your paint style is what you use. The baseline fact is that parchment paper is a lot less water permeable than the wet palette paper. And so wet palette paper, you will get much wetter paint, but it also stays wet for longer. It stays workable for longer.
Yeah.
Antoine, what about you?
Right now, and that's because I'm lazy, I have parchment paper in my palette. However, I have like a 40 sheets of Masterson right behind me.
Oh, you just didn't want to prep the paper?
Yeah, that's like, it's prepping time, putting in water, and when I do quick change before starting to paint, if I don't prep in advance, I just use parchment paper, which I like less. But there's also, right now it's even worse because I'm using off-brand parchment paper, and it works worse than...
Something like Reynolds?
I don't know if it's Reynolds, but the green and red box.
I don't know who that one is.
No, but that's the main parchment paper when you look, like, most groceries have that one, the I don't know which brand name, but the regular brand name for that, for bakery, and it's nicer, and it has, filigrams of the company name on it.
Oh, I hate that one. So I have that as well. I know exactly what you're talking about.
But I find that it worked best than what I have right now, which I think it's no name. I think what I have right now is no name, and it curls and it dries up and it lifts off from the sponge. So
yeah, I would agree with that. I found some problems with the place where they put the design in the paper. I find it contracts and does weird stuff, so it starts twisting the paper there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I have that too, so I know exactly what you mean.
Okay. But if I have a choice, I prefer the parchment, not the parchment, but the palette paper made for that. And like I'm finishing a box of parchment paper down here, and I think I'm going to finish it in quick projects because it works for a couple of days at max, and after that it shrinks up. So, and I'll go back to Masterson. I got, they add on special a giant, like for the big palette, like 11 by 17, something like that.
Yeah, the giant palette, yeah.
The just giant palette, it was a giant pack, and it was in special, and I had the coupon code, so I think like 40 sheets of the giant one cost me $7 or something like that.
Kind of hard to go wrong at that price. Huh?
Yeah, that's why I took it. And in the end, I like it. I would just need to prep it. So,
yeah, that's the tough part. Or not the tough, but the annoying part.
Yeah.
You can't just spontaneously decide to pull out a fresh sheet and use it, right? And you get about 5 to 8 minutes of prep time there. Hit it when I'm not sure what I'm painting.
Have you heard about other stuff that people use as wet palette paper?
No.
I don't think so either.
No, I think it's just the parchment paper or wet palette paper. I don't
know. Yeah. I mean, I know of other types of palettes. Most of the dry palettes, there's multiple kinds people use.
Like the well palettes, you mean?
Yeah, well palettes, or some people paint on porcelain tiles.
Yeah, I did that for a while, too. At our age, Antoine, we've done it all. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's... the porcelain tile thing works pretty well. The other problem is that, you know, we're in Canada and it's winter. That means we're heating generally with electric. Our houses are very dry. So you need to kind of plan ahead for that when you're painting.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
It's not if your paint will dry in the palette. It's when your paint will dry in the palette. I'm glad we cut silence out of this podcast, Antoine, because... we're not being very good radio right now.
No, I am. Yeah.
We are focused.
No.
I'm in the home stretch of hair painting here in the face. So. And I guess, I should probably paint his eyebrows. Otherwise, he would look kind of weird. What'd you say you're working on right now? You finished the other guy's red, right? You redid that cloak or whatever it was? Antoine?
Yeah, I finished the red, changed for almost a tan leather, orangey tan leather. And after that, I redid the edge on some other parts to sharpen the contrast. So I like him a lot more. I'm not sure if I want to push the contrast even more on the other parts to make him pop. But he already pops. Well, pops. It's all earthy tones, green browns. So I'm not sure how much I can make him pop more than that. So, but I put it aside, and now I'm working on a Malifaux model.
Who?
Nino, one of the Ortegas.
Uh-huh. It's one with, like, the shotgun type thing, isn't he?
The Gatling gun.
Yeah. He's one that looks like he's leaping back in the original sculpts.
Yep, yep.
I think you have the old ones, right?
Yes, I do. Yeah, they were all base coated to get them to a playable level earlier this year when I tried the V2. But I want to eventually get them painted. So, starting to work on him, adding detail and doing more than just base coats and color blocking.
Wow, overachiever. Yeah, so why exactly are you overachieving? Are you planning on doing some Malifaux stuff or something? You got something coming up?
Probably not using my model, but as we've talked a couple of episodes ago, we were planning for Adepticon, and the registration was this weekend. And one of the things I've seen is that they will have a Malifaux 3rd edition demo.
Oh, so, that could be cool.
I will try that for sure. And with second edition being fresher in my memory, it would be a nice moment to try it.
Yeah, I don't know what I do with my second edition book. I know I bought it when it launched at Gen Con. Don't ask what I do with the book. Yeah, that's a game I should really revisit. I really like the card mechanic. It was really broken in Mark 1, or whatever it was called, first edition. But.
Yeah. Well, I don't think the base mechanic was problematic. I think
the models. There's like
they added real so creep many crews with special rules that broke the game.
I remember there was a especially bad thing with Lord Chompy Bits for a long time.
Mm-hmm. And the Amelin, the rat guy.
The rat guy, yeah.
Those two are the two I remember are hearing the more about. But I've not seen that in the second version, but I've barely played only a couple of games.
Yeah, and there's no community here anymore for it, right? Well, not
active.
And maybe active, but not obvious, right? There might be a lot of basement players we don't know about.
Yep, sure.
Yeah, I'm might be speaking out of turn.
And to be honest, I'm one of those basement players. That's how I play my game. Just two people together out of not in stores or anyway, and getting part of the community.
That's Antoine, part of the problem.
Yeah. That's overachiever, but part of the problem.
Well, you know, admitting your problem is the first step to fixing it, Antoine. So,
mm-hmm. So yeah. So we registered for Adepticon.
Yes, we did.
Did you get all the classes you wanted?
No, I didn't. Well, okay. I'll be honest. I don't really take painting classes anymore. I have achieved a level. No. I can't even say it with a straight face. To be quite honest, the painting classes were quite expensive. Not saying they weren't worth the money. Just saying I didn't have it in the budget to do that. So I had tried to register for a Duncan class. Duncan is the GW painter.
Yeah, Duncan Rose?
I think so, yeah. But he just seems hilarious. So I tried to take one of his classes, and I couldn't get in. There was a space for me. Then when I went to check out, it was already gone.
Yeah.
So.
Yoma, that happened with his registration for other classes, too.
Yeah. So I have one class with someone who I've never heard of, but Yom was taking that class. I figured he must be someone good. And it's an intro to, or a simple NMM class. So we'll see what I can learn from that. I'm sure mm-hmm. I can learn something.
Would have been good before doing your blacksmith?
Well, this isn't NMM. This is, I don't know what this is.
Yeah, but it was NMM iron and gold. That's the class.
Yeah, no, I know. I'm aware that the class would have been perfect.
And you're kind of doing iron.
Kind of, sort of.
Battered iron, maybe?
yeah, ish. Sure. That's the goal. I don't know if I'm achieving that look, but that's certainly the goal. Sometimes we take what we can get.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
Yeah, so that class looks pretty interesting. That was the sound of my paint sliding away from me. I didn't get anything else aside from that. I have a bunch of games planned. I have some demos lined up. Some of my schedule is going to change. We registered for something together, and I don't think it's going to work out in the end.
Mm-hmm.
Because we registered for a judgment event, and it looked interesting. It was an intro event, right?
Yes.
And then we realized there was probably a model requirement.
A larger model requirement than we thought.
Yeah. Well, needing models versus not needing models is a pretty large difference.
Well, you have one model and I have none. That's already a start, but I think that's a too small of a start.
Yeah, just maybe. But we thought it was and perhaps not unfairly, we thought it was a models provided event.
Yeah.
Because of the description, because it basically said that there was no experience required. So if you have no experience and it's an intro demo event, you would think that it would also preclude you from having models. But and you know, we're not strangers to buying models for untested games just on a whim.
Nope.
But those models are quite pricey because they're huge and they're gorgeous. But they're $65 ish a model. You only need three to play, but still, that's
a pretty big buy-in for an event to try the game out. Compared to what, $50 for a Guild Ball team?
Yeah, well, 40 US, right?
Yeah.
With the build and play, whatever it is.
Yep.
So yeah, that didn't quite work out as planned. Yep. I mean, technically, we haven't dropped the event yet. Maybe we'll...
Not yet. We need to see.
But of course, the problem being Adepticon, everything sells out super fast, so you can't take forever to decide these things.
No, for sure.
Because you will find out that you got nothing. That kind of happened to me last year. Last year was a bit short on funds for Adepticon, so I tried to wait till the last minute to register for stuff. Like, I bought my pass right off.
But no
events. But my actual event registration I did late, which meant I basically got into nothing. It was okay. I spent my time doing other stuff.
Yeah. But that was also your comment about last year, that you didn't have enough to do after the con. That was the comment you gave. So at least having a minimum of event plan, I think might be better.
Yeah, no, for sure. That's why we're gonna plan some events. We're gonna do some things.
Eat some food.
Always.
Well, that won't be that easy looking at the schedule. We don't have a lot of...
Well, if we drop Judgment on Saturday, we have all kinds of time to eat.
That's true. And we still have Friday evening, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
Or you have Friday evening with Yom or something. You have Thursday evening and I have Friday.
Whoa. No one mentioned anything about me getting left alone with Yom.
Well, you probably won't be alone because Fort added it himself. At the last minute,
was kind of funny.
Us knowing almost.
Well, I'd mentioned it to him, right? I'd asked him if he wanted to come along.
Yeah.
And he was very non-committal about it. Like, hey, I'll see. And the next thing I know, he's registered. He's got events. He's registered for events with me, even though they conflict with my other schedule. So that was kind of funny.
That was funny learning that today.
Yeah. It's just funny because I sent him my schedule, right? Like, mm-hmm. I got events. I'll see if I can do something. I'll get back to you. Next thing I know, he's bought tickets. That's okay. I mean, in theory, I suppose if I can't make it, he can always refund the ticket.
Yeah.
I thought that was kind of amusing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, I don't want to talk too much about Adepticon. We've kind of mentioned that before, and I'm sure we'll mention it again. And we're kind of running a bit long at this point, so do you have any news? Anything interesting coming up this week?
Yeah, a couple items. First one, well, there were multiple new items, but we don't want to make it a purely news show and go long. But that bust, okay, by Iter or Iter? I'm not too sure how to pronounce that.
This is the one we were looking at before?
Yeah. The name of the model is Lucane the Merchant, but it's in the miniature, the company
ITER,
name.
ITER miniatures, maybe?
ITER or ITER. I don't know what countries they're from. So.
Yeah. Anyway, point being, that model looks awesome.
Yeah, that model. It's a bust, pretty... Not waist.
No, it's like mid-torso up.
Yeah, mid-torso up. Of a bearded gentleman carrying a giant backpack full of weapon and stuff. And the model has so much personality and character. The face is amazing.
It makes me think kind of like... It's like over exaggerated style, kind of.
Oh, for sure, it's a bit like cartoony.
Overwatchy, or no, what was that game? Team Fortress style, right? Like that.
Mm-hmm. Yep, yep. I see that.
Okay, he is gorgeous.
Yeah, some of the maybe you would see in a graphic novel.
Yeah,
not a comic, but more of a graphic novel. Hyper detail, but a bit exaggerated. So.
Yeah, we are truly living in the golden age of miniatures, my friend.
Yeah, he looks super good, and it's fun. There's an alternate where he gets a Santa Claus hat. A Santa Claus hat, and how do you call the pouch?
Bag of toys.
The bag of toys instead of his his backpack of stuff to sell. That alternate is a limited edition, only 100 of those available. So,
well, that's really cool.
Don't take your time too much. And they also offer a combo pack. If you get both, you get £5 rebate on each.
Well, £10 off is not
£10 off either. So it's pretty cool, and they look good. Both of them look super good. I'm almost tempted.
Yeah,
I'm
super awesome.
I'm really not buying any much lately, but that one, that bust, looks so great. Yeah, it's £40. It's on pre-order right now. It's going to be launched somewhere, dispatched in December, but I don't have the specific date yet. We will have the link in the show note, or if you just want to look for the company's name, ITER, it's ITER miniature. Looks pretty good. The second item is a Kickstarter by Infamy Miniatures. This one is Infamy Collectibles The Getaway. Infamy, they have a game out. This is not for the game, it's just a kind of a vignette to. A couple of miniatures on a bike. They're called... Where's their name? Bunny and Claude. It's a tiger and a catman. Who are trying to evade pursuers on a jet bike with a sidecar and the...
And a bazooka.
The tiger is driving and the cat, like you just mentioned, is firing a bazooka behind them. Looks super cool.
It does. It really looks neat.
It doesn't fit in their actual line for the game. I saw something earlier. They say it's designed for a diesel punk post-apocalyptic animal society, or Deepakasok for short.
Deepakasok. Jeez.
Which is, it's shorter, but it totally doesn't make any sense. But I like that they mentioned it in there. In their blurb promo. On the page, you have a lot of artwork. There's the 3D render. There's even some resin test prints. some comparison size next to the silhouette of a regular space crusaders in a grim dark future.
Yep. I like the shadow outline, and then this gentleman is here to show you the size of the kit.
Yeah. So it's a nice kit. The Kickstarter is only for that. Some of the stretch goals, they have not been announced, but it's going to be like art card, shiny box. So it's really not new minis, but added the doodads to go with the minis.
Yeah, some swag, right?
Yeah. The Kickstarter is not funded yet. They're about
20 days to go.
Yeah, two-thirds there. They're only looking for £2,000. And they have, by the time of the release, more than 2 weeks left still. So,
yeah.
They should
do I think it should fund. And I don't think... Did you mention the price at all?
Oh, no, that's true.
I don't think so. It's £48.
Yep.
And it ships in May for the first...
they have two pledge levels. It's the same price, but it's not a number of...
delivery dates.
Delivery dates, yeah. 100 for the first one and 100 for July, which is the second shipping date.
Yeah. And it's a nice looking one. I really like a lot of the details. It'd just be a cool piece to paint.
Yeah.
And look, it's comical, like you said, right? So.
Yeah, the tiger face on the bike with the cigar and the helmet looks so good.
Yeah. Agreed.
and that were the two items I wanted to mention.
Both worthy mentions. I applaud you, sir. On that note, it is late. I am tired. We should sign off.
Yes, we should.
And I'm sure our listeners are tired of hearing us. So I'll see you next week, Antoine. It was a pleasure as always.
Bye, Paul. And bye, geeks.
Thanks for listening to Geeks of the North. If you want to contact us, you can email us at geeksofthenorth@gmail.com. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/geeksofthenorth, or follow us on Twitter at Geeks of the North. You can follow me, Paul, at PRFilio, Antoine at Eltonio Berg, Steve at B_Steve, and if you really feel the need, I guess you can follow Yom. He's at Yomasta. Breaks and outro music by La Drave. You can listen to them at ladrave.bandcamp.com. See you next time, geeks.
Thank you for checking out United Geeks Network Family Member. If you enjoyed it and are looking for other online media with a geek culture slant, head over to UnitedGeeksNetwork.com, where you will find the Game Crafter Official Podcast, a weekly podcast dedicated to the tabletop game print on demand company, The Game Crafter, and its growing community. The United Geeks Network. You can broadcast your geekiness at UnitedGeeksNetwork.com.